It has been an unbelievable blast. Thank you. I know last night was tough. I know that. And but you will think back on last night of all the things you will remember. You'll remember, I have to be adult. And it is such a wonderful, powerful tool. Has anyone in the last year experienced conflict in their relationship? Just for those who are getting married, I want to tell you, you are in for the ride of your life. Love is such a strange thing, isn't it? So tonight what I want to do, I want to talk about love and I want to talk about communication. I want to talk about how can we handle conflict. And I mean, all those things are such amazing things. I am completely in love. I have been in love for since 1976, the 12th of December. Even longer, so September 9th, the 19th, 1976. I have been madly in love with Jesus Christ. And then I bumped into this girl and she became competition between Jesus and me. And I had to ask her, you have to take second place. You got the most beautiful eyes. And I have experienced love. I have experienced being loved. And I've had the privilege of being able to love someone. And it's wild. It's not always been amazing. And it's been tough. And there'll be things that we have had to fight for. And there's been things we've fought over. But we have learned loving each other is worth it all. And all of those of us here, every one of you, you know it's worth it. So have a go. Have a go. What love does, it releases something in our relationship. It's like a hormone thing. And it does. And the more we focus on that, the more it creates life within us. I'm convinced love is a divine deposit in a human heart that we get to give away. And we only discover it as we are given it, you know, and as we give it away and as we receive it. And so, you know, God made one commandment. He said that you must love him and that you must love one another. That's it. Full stop. End of the game. And it's a command. It's like, is it negotiable? Non-negotiable. It's how he's created human beings. It's the way he wants us to be with each other. He doesn't want us just to be in relationship. He wants us to be in a loving relationship. He wants us to love one another. What it does, it's the guardrails of our relationship. Because he knows if that's taken out of our lives, the rest is like chaos. The rest is like, doesn't make sense. It's like, it's actually not being human. Love makes us human, makes us fully human. So it's a command. And so if it's a command, then why don't we dare to respond to that command and go, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to love. Because I don't believe God gives us a command and doesn't back up the command. He enables humans, you and I, to love. Otherwise, why give us something that's impossible? You know, sometimes you are married to someone, you go, I've married an impossible person here. And maybe you have. Maybe they married an impossible person. True story, hey? And so what's the solution? Try and work this out or love? Respond to that thing. On the back foot of that is, how do you respond to the people that you're supposed to love? Because the world tells us love is this like feeling. You wake up one morning, you have your little coffee, open the door, walk outside, and you get this like feeling. I am going to be loved. And I am going to love. The feeling's not that strong, but it's going to build up. I can feel it. So you walk down the street, and an oak on a bicycle goes straight past you. And that feeling of love goes to the back. Another feeling pops up. You start chasing the oak on the bicycle. You see, if love is a feeling only, then we're doomed. Because we won't work it properly. Other emotions will affect that. And then we'll wait, I can only love you if I feel like loving you. I mean, Leanne has woken up many years next to me. And I must tell you, it's not a pretty sight. You know. I was so ugly when I was born. The doctor slapped my mother. You know. And I've had lots of healing and ministry and nothing has worked. So she has to wake up next to this every morning. You know, and she like rolls over and she goes, and she's got the gift of healing. She prays over, Lord, please heal this face in the name of Jesus. But what happened if Leanne didn't choose to love me, regardless of what I looked like in the morning? And then she waited for the feeling to rise up within her. What happened if I woke up with this ugly face and she looked at me and I wait for that feeling and then I snapped at her? Well, then that feeling of love is not going to come quickly. You hear what I'm saying? Why live like that? Why live in a relationship with people and wait to express this thing called love? Why not choose to love? Why not go, I choose to love you? Because if you wake up in the morning and you look like me, here's the deal. I know this one thing. Leanne has chosen to love me, regardless. Warts and all. I know this. I'm loved. There is nothing better for us to know that we are loved. Done. It's the best thing in the world. And it's not dependent on a mood, a hormone, a facial expression. Even when I make the wrong mistakes, I do the wrong thing, and I'm unlovable, she loves me. It's sweet, man. It's the best thing ever. Love is a feeling. It's an emotion. It's given to us so that we can love and feel in love. But primarily, love is a choice we make. And the more you make the choice, and once you have made that choice, those love feelings are good. You know, love is a strange thing. Love is more than just one thing. English language doesn't have enough in it to describe what love is. The Greeks are the best at describing love. And you know, you look through the Bible, there's all sorts of different words for the word love. And I love that. And so we'll extract some of the definitions. Love is romantic love. Romantic love is lovely. I love romantic love. Imagine love for your partner without romance. It'll become sterile. Love is also described as friendship. Isn't that nice? So love is friendship. I love you romantically. I'm gonna win you over. I'm gonna wiggle my way into your heart today. I'm gonna romance you. I'm gonna buy you a Pierce chocolate. I love you. I'm going to buy you flowers. I'm going to say, man, you got such beautiful, beautiful eyes. I'm going to give you a hug. I'm going to be romantic. We could do much better. Guys, we have to do much better. We can do much better. It's so easy to be caught up in the chaos of life and to forget that this is an essential part of being a human in love, to be able to romance each other. And you've got to work it out. There's no like equation, guys. I've got it in page 36. There's some tips on how to be romantic. Write them yourself. It's a blank page. It's my funny half hour, and I've got another 20 minutes to go. Love is friendship. Love with one another without friendship is not stable enough. We spoke about friendship. Love is essential. The Greek word is eros. It's essential. There is no ways you are in love with this person because you go, I'm not attracted to you. You know, I can't see anything in this. I mean, you got the screeching hearts for each other, haven't you? It's like, it's not like I see you. It's like, I see you. And you know, this is not just guys, eh? Eros love is not a masculine thing. Eros love is a human thing. We are created essential beings. And then we have this gift called marriage, where we can express the creativity of eros with one another. That's lekker, eh? Eros love. I remember meeting Leanne when she was 14. I had a lot of eros in me, I must tell you, eh? You know, and I was in the Church of the Nazarene, and they tried to sanctify me, and that didn't work, I must tell you. Eros was stronger than sanctification, by far. And I had lots of repenting to do. But I am so glad that God has created us that we are sexually attracted to each other. Because it pulls us in and it draws us out. It's unique. It's part of our intimacy. Another part of our love is family love, that we realize as we love each other, our love extends beyond this boundary of our relationship. It's a strange thing. So we are friends and we're essential and we're romantic. But a couple who are together, there is something about this is the original family. It's like it's a unique bond. You know? And then you start dreaming, you know, are we gonna have kids? And maybe you dream of not having kids. Your call. At the root of family is a couple who are in love with each other. I often say when I do parenting stuff, I say the safest place a child can be is in a family where their mom and dad absolutely love each other. And those of you with kids, you know what I mean. Are you like, you're trying to have a squeeze. I mean, kids are busy, eh? They do get in the way of eros, I must tell you. Praise the Lord for filio. You're trying to squeeze like a little squeeze there in the kitchen. Like, hope no one's watching. And then you feel this little pushing in the middle. Yeah, my buddy, you're going to struggle with life from here on, I can tell you now. But you know, in your heart, true story, you go, oh, I am more. We are always created to be together. We are always created to be family. That's what love does. It's so amazing. But there is a love that's hard to describe. I mean, you got some smart preachers in your church and theologians, and there's people who've written books on this. But you know, it's almost impossible to describe agape love, the love of God. We try to. Well, today, you know, I want to talk about the agape love of God. At that point, you know, they're like struggling. You know? Because it's almost impossible. Because what happened on the cross cannot be defined in a human mind. It's like, how does that work? That's the way I've been loved. And that's the way I can love. Isn't that incredible? So I'll put my little hand up here and I'll say, and that's the way we expect to be loved. All in love. And you just got to have a go at it. So everything that I've spoken about up to page 20 will help us try do better at all in love. Because it is a love that is ultimately and completely away from yourself. It's like, you remember I said die to self? It's that love. Remember I tried to talk about surrender? It's that love. Remember I tried to be whole? It's everything. And it is so appealing. And it is so necessary for our humanity. But love is more than words. And John said it like this. He said, love speaks louder than your actions. It's actually in the scriptures, you know. He said like this, don't just say you love someone, do it. And it's easy to say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I wrote this here, the true love is the difference between saying, I love you. How are you doing? Oh, I love you, babe. Cheers, babe. I love you. I love you. Hey? We always say, I love you. Hey? I even say, I love my cat, Dora. I love you, I love you. And I say, Leanne, how are you? Bye? Okay, bye. I love you, bye. Matt phones me. Hi, Dad, bye. Okay, I love you, Dad, bye. But when you say, I am in love with you, something else is happening. It makes you honest. But don't tell me you're in love with me and not love me the way in love means. And I'm not going to say it to you if I can't back up my act. So it's like language. It can mess us up. So love ultimately shouldn't have ulterior motives. Which is quite hard. If you're like a romantic oak, if you know what I mean. It's like, hey baby, you alright? Do you want me to rub your feet? Like, how are your toes? I rub your toes? Calves? Anything else? You know, I love you as a friend, darling. You know, guys, we are scabangers. I'm saying this because it's very hard when you are madly in love with someone to love them without ulterior motives. Oh, I'll change it. It's not always a guy thing. It's a girl thing. Because, you know, Leanne chases me around. So I know what you're after. And I'm a very obliging guy normally. However, back down, girl. I never ever say back down. I am too weak. There's no such thing as 50-50 in a relationship. No such thing. Does not work. So you get to 50 and then it's like, we're hovering at 50. We're like, okay, what's going to happen next? I'll wait for you. No, you wait for me. I'll wait for you. No, you wait for me. This is love. I'm going to love you 100 regardless. Regardless of what I get back, I'm going to love you. You know why? Because I'm in love with you. And you deserve to be loved the way you were created to be loved. 100. It's a gift, man. It's a gift. It's the best gift we can give anybody. It's the best gift we can give the person we're in love with. The best gift. There's a little equation I wrote down there. L plus A plus F equals S. Look, guys, I'm a scientist, eh? I know my math. Unconditional love and total acceptance and unreserved forgiveness are the basic requirements for a relationship, any relationship. I just love to be loved unconditionally, don't you? I just want to be completely accepted for who I am. I don't want to think I have to change. I just want to be able to, I want to change. I don't want to be told to change. I want to change. I want to know that I'm accepted for who I am. It's a good thing. We've spoken about this. I want to know there's unreserved forgiveness. I want to know that I can fail and get back up again and have a go again. I want to know, don't you? I want to know that if I make a mistake, I'm not judged. I'm not written off. And I'm encouraged maybe not to make the same mistake. If you add those three things together, something happens in the heart and the life of a human being. It equates to something. Selflessness. Servanthood. The very thing that is required in our relationship. It's this. I choose to live away from myself. I choose to live for you. It's amazing. But love is a risk. Just thought I had to say that. Because it is. Because there's absolutely zero guarantee. I wish I could say there's a guarantee. I've been around long enough to know. I've got to rely on other people's choices. Love is a risk, but it's a risk worth taking. And so love is the absolute for any relationship. Here's a bit of homework for you. You can look at it. And it's like, so can we do better? So I love the scriptures because isn't that amazing? Isn't God incredible? He says, love. And you go, oh, what does it mean? So this is what it means. If you're patient with me, what you're saying to me is I love you. That's cool, eh? And if you put up with me, you're saying, I want to tell you, I love you. And when you're not selfish and you're selfless to me, what you're saying, Brett, I love you. And when you're not offended by me, and boy, that's hard. And you don't take that offense. And you push aside your anger. You're saying, I love you. God doesn't leave us hanging, and we don't need to be hanging. So how am I supposed to love this person? You know how many times I've heard that? How am I supposed to have love this oak? And she just put a gun in her purse. So how am I supposed to love this oak? And I've had that. I said, well, maybe be patient. You know, aim to the left. This helps us. This little thing will help us. True story. We can be better lovers. Every one of us. We have to be better lovers because the people around us deserve the best. So love is a mutual thing. Mutuality is required in a relationship. There's no such thing that it can just happen. A relationship requires mutuality. When you love somebody, they start loving you back. That's the thing that causes the relationship to happen. So those of you who are in early stages of like a going out fiancé type vibe, and you're loving this person flat out, I'm 100. And I got all those criteria. I'm attracted to that. I'm compatible. And you're getting nothing back. There's no mutuality. A relationship hasn't been formed yet. Step back before it injures you. Mutuality is crucial. Be kind to one another. Mutuality. Prefer one another. Serve one another. Honor, there are 51 references to one another in the New Testament. 51. We need to one another each other in the nicest way possible. And that's what we have to do. Love draws out affection. Love draws out affection. And affection is like the warmth of love we give to people. Affection is like a demonstration of love. I mean, check it, you ex. When I'm talking about love, you all got closer, started like rubbing each other like flies. Do flies rub each other? Oh, no, they rub their legs, eh? Sorry. Like panda bears. And it's something about it. Love is in the air. Hey? And affection. When you're with the person you love, you are affectionate to them. They feel the warmth of that love. Affection outside, I'm going to say this, outside of marriage requires healthy boundaries. It really does. And I'm not just talking about people who are not married. Anything outside your marriage is outside your marriage. You know, I started my church and many years ago, and I asked a young girl in our church to be like an assistant. Help me, please, because I don't know how to type. Those days, the typewriters. Those were the days just before the flood. And I had a visitation from John Wimber's brother-in-law, Bob Fulton, was visiting with us. And he said, Brett, Penny, you need to speak to Leanne. Brett and I need to take this car. We're going to have a chat. I thought, oh, wow. That's so cool. The man of God. He said, you need to give your secretary ugly pills. She was a very pretty girl. And what she was saying is that you got to watch out, buddy. Don't share your affections with her. So I fired her the next day. No, I didn't. Come on, man. Be smart. We have to be smart because love is powerful. Here's another thing. Affection inside marriage needs constant attention. So in one place you can't do it, in another place you have to. Because we can take ourselves for granted, eh? Oh, she loves me. We need to work at it. There's no one here who's like, the Italian, I think they're like so smooth. Like, their little Armanis and their espressos, and they're walking down and flicking their hair and their stubble and all that sort of stuff. And they are rather attractive, I must tell you. It doesn't matter how you look, it doesn't matter who you are, life is life. Pay attention to the way in which you demonstrate your affection to each other. Why? Because we need it. Okay. I've got 5 minutes, eh? I'm just going to tell a joke. I can't. Yikes, it's stressing me out, eh? I'm sweating. So my dad wasn't an affectionate guy. My dad was like a man's man. And I was 10 when I discovered that my dad had multiple sclerosis. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I did know my dad was starting to die. And as a 10-year-old, you see that, and it's like so weird. And as I got older into my early teens and then into my mid-teens, I became the human mover. We couldn't afford wheelchairs or help. And my dad was a big guy. He weighed a lot. And so the only way that I could help my dad move from the bedroom to the lounge, because that's all he could do, he could just sit or lie, is I had to carry him. Now, you've seen how big a 6'2" person is. If a 6'2" person bends their knees, they're the same height as me. And so I had to do that. And I basically lost most of my teenage years being my dad's helper. And I love my dad. But the one thing about my dad is he wasn't affectionate. He was a man. And I'm affectionate. And I had to bath my dad, you know, do all the other stuff. And then one day, I'm like this mid-teen, you know, and I'm going, well, I want my dad, I'd like my dad to give me a hug. Oh, I want to kiss my dad on his cheek. And I'm bathing him. I got the shower hose. I thought, I'm going to get this oak. What I'm going to do is I'm going to teach my dad to be affectionate to me. And so I threatened him. I sprayed him with cold water. Up and down. And guess what? He could do nothing about it. I had him trapped. And then I leant over. I remember that. I leant over and I hugged him and I gave him a kiss. And I learned to be affectionate like that even more. And I learned to receive affection. And I learned something as a youngster. How necessary as a young teenager it was to be loved. Here's the deal. Love is a choice. And if you want love, you got to give it away. And you got to receive it. And it changed my life. Changed my life. And I love that. Sad story. I wouldn't change a thing.